Tootie's got me ready to praise. Wish I had her energy. Well, speaking of a lack of energy, if y'all have taken a peek at the scripture this morning, you'll kind of know a little bit of something of what it's about if you've seen this story before. We're looking at Elisha. Elisha will actually come later. But we're looking at Elijah because it's 1 Kings 19, starting verse 1. But it's because sometimes, I don't know about y'all, I feel like I'm alone. Even in a crowded room, even with people I loved, people I know who love me, who've got my back, who support me, sometimes you just feel like you're alone. You feel like you're going through life by yourself. You feel like you're facing your battles by yourself. You feel like there's nothing you can do right sometimes. Modern medicine calls that depression. The Bible addressed it thousands of years ago, right here in this story. See, Elijah had been fighting for God against nearly everybody. He felt like he was the only prophet left. He was the only person left in Israel who supported God. He was the only person left in the entire world that he could tell who was trying to put Israel back on the right track for God. And he felt like he was doing it all by himself. So much so, Jezebel, who was the ruler at the time, was sending people after him to kill him. And we'll see how deep his depression gets when we read this story, but I'll go ahead and tell you, he wanted to die. I don't know about you, but there's been points in my life where I felt like, not that I wanted to end my own life or anything like that, but maybe it'd be easier if I wasn't here. And if we're all honest with ourselves, at some point in our life, even for a splitting second, we may have had that thought. Just because things seem so hard, seem so bad, because we feel like we're fighting that battle alone. We feel like that we've got nobody on our side. And sometimes it's because we can't get past the hustle and bustle. We can't get past all the noise that's around us. We can't get past everything that's going on. It seems to just make things worse and worse and worse. And ladies, you may wonder, why does my man want to go fishing and hunting all the time? Well, this is why. It's quiet out there. It's quiet. Some of the best moments I've ever had with God leaned up against a tree of a rifle in the early morning dew, because it's so quiet. You just get to enjoy His creation and time with Him. Some people find those moments on a lake in a boat, just holding a rod and reel even when the fish ain't biting. Some people find them moments laying out under stars in a sleeping bag or spending time with their family in a camper. Some people just find those moments on a nice drive on a Sunday afternoon. Radio's off, windows down, just enjoying the time. It's exactly what Elijah needed. It's what he found. When we turn to the scripture, we start to look, it says in verse 1, Ahab, who was the king, told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." She said, "By this time tomorrow, I'm going to kill you like you killed them. Or so help me, the gods are going to do it to me." That's determination. She was determined to end his life. And he felt the pressure. Said, then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left a servant there. So the only person he's got with him going around anywhere is this guy that's serving him. And he says, "You stay here. I need to be by myself." Says, but he found, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors." There have been moments in my life where I've made a similar cry out, "Why am I here, God? What difference does it make? Would they not be better without me?" And in the middle of his depression, he did something we're often told not to do. He took a nap. Sometimes it's okay to take a nap. Sometimes you need the nap. It says, then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." I've got one over here who gets hangry. That's hungry and angry at the same time. If you feed her, she calms down. See, the angel didn't tell him, "All right, lay there and squalor. Sit there and moan, gripe, complain, do whatever you're doing because it's working great." He said, "Get up and do something. Let's start with get some food in your stomach. Get up and eat. And not only get up and eat, but I brought you food." It says he looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. It says the angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise the journey will be too much for you." So now it wasn't just a command, get up and do something, but it was because God's got more for you. And that's the realization that I've had to come to in my life sometimes. I know that's the realization that some of us, all of us, have had to come to when we face with those moments where we feel alone, is get up and eat, because God's got more. And you're going to need your strength for this journey. You're going to need what God is providing you for this journey. Notice the two things the angel gave Elijah, bread and water. What is Christ? It's the bread of life. It's the water that brings life to us. He is the living water. Get up. Consume Christ in your Bible. Consume His Word. Consume everything that comes from Him. Because there's more in your journey. And you're going to need Him to get through it. Think about that for a second. "Oh, I'm alone. Oh, poor pitiful me. Oh, I can't make it. I've said those things. But if I get up and take in Christ, the bread and the living water of Jesus Christ, because I've got more in my journey, I'll have the energy to sustain myself through. Not because I can do it, but because He can do it through me." get up and eat. Get up and eat. Verse 8, it says he got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. If you don't know, Horeb is the same mountain that's mentioned as Sinai, where Moses received the Ten Commandments. Horeb is the same mountain just outside of Jerusalem where Jesus saw Elijah and Moses with the Lord God. It's the same mountaintop that Jesus was on in the wilderness when the devil tempted him for what? 40 days. But Jesus wasn't tempted, because God provided for him. Elijah wasn't weary in this wilderness because God provided for him. Moses led the people for 40 years because God provided for them. If there's a reason to be depressed, I think 40 years out in the wilderness is a pretty good reason. Knowing that I could have everything imaginable to mankind because the devil said so, but turning it away to honor God, I don't think I have the strength. Thank God Jesus did it. Because he made a way for us in the wilderness. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, what are you doing here, Elijah? He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, throw down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. How many of you yelled something like that to the sky? God, I've done this, I've done that, I've done everything you've asked of me, I've done everything imaginable to try and make sure that my family is taken care of, that my friends are taken care of, that I'm taken care of, and still, nothing goes right. Still, I'm left alone. God doesn't even argue with them. God tells them one simple thing. Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. In all of that rage, all of that anger, all of that depression, God said, why don't you come on out of your hidey hole? Come out of that cave you're hiding in. Come out of the wilderness and the darkness you're trying to stay in. And get ready for me, because I'm on my way to help you out. It says, now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in places and pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. See, Elijah didn't hear God in the wind. He didn't hear God in the earthquake. He didn't hear God in the fire. Okay? He didn't hear God in all the noise that was going on around him. All the things that were giving him trouble. He heard God in the silence when everything got quiet. I think we get ourselves too wrapped up in the noise of this world. We're too wrapped up in everything going on around us. We're too wrapped up in what's weighing our mind and our soul down. And we forget to get quiet for God. We forget to take a moment and rest and get in the silence and listen for Him. We're too busy crying out to Him that we can't hear Him talking back to us. I don't know about y'all. I had one of them good old Southern mamas wasn't afraid to hit you with a frying pan. She was alive today. She denied it. She did. She denied it. I learned quick, don't get on her bad side. She's willing to hit my brother. She'll be willing to hit me. I told you before, he's my greatest role model. Watch everything he does, do the opposite. He smarted off to mama one time, got in her face, yelling at her. All the talking, all the yelling, all the screaming she could do wouldn't shut him up. Sometimes she had to hit him. Sometimes I feel like God needs to do that with us. He just needs to knock the mess out of us. But there's another tactic he takes quite often, and it's more along the lines of what my memo would do. I don't think I was scared of my mom. Her mama was a different story. Because quite often she'd leave all the discipline up to her husband. And he'd whip that belt off. I tell you, sound of leather coming across seven belt straps, it's a scary sound. But if she was by herself, she'd get real quiet. We'd get real scared. We didn't know what was coming. She gonna wait and tell Papa? She gonna wait and tell my mom? She gonna tell my daddy? He is a Marine, y'all. No. She just whispers, son, I'm disappointed in you. That hurt a lot worse than any of them spankings. James, that hurts my heart. Oh. I hurt them all. Mm-hmm. She got real quiet. So what God does sometimes is He gets real quiet because He needs you to calm down so that you can hear Him when He speaks. And He's patient. He's going to wait on you to calm down. He's going to let you get it all out of your system, and then He's going to show you what a fool you've been. When He talks, He's going to talk softly. Calmly. Quite often, I think the first thing He says to us is, if you listen to me, I got a plan for you. I need you to calm down so you can get on with it. I mean, y'all ever got hurt because you did something stupid you were told not to do? I told you my daddy was an ex-Marine. He got real sarcastic with us when we did that. I told you. If you'd listen to me, you wouldn't be crying right now. We'd be on to the next thing. Now, whatever's holding you back, whatever's beating you down, God's got the next thing already planned. Let's get in the silence and listen to Him. Let's hear His voice. Because that's the voice we're looking for, that still, small voice. And it's not in all the noise that's going on in the world. It's not in everything that's distracting you in this world. It's in those peaceful moments. Take a little time to get in some silence. Whatever it is, whatever you enjoy doing, where you can do it with your mind shut off. Turn all the distractions off. You know, that's my favorite part about mowing the yard. Can't hear nothing. I can hear God. It's only one noise going on. There's nothing else to think about. I can hear God. But the one thing he don't want you to do is quit. He don't want you to give up. He don't want you to wallow in that pity and that depression. He wants you to get up and eat. And keep going. He's got more planned for you. And God gives Elijah his direction in that moment of silence. There in the middle of verse 13, it says, "Then there came a voice to him that said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" And again, Elijah does what we all do, and he started complaining and telling God everything. He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, throw down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehola, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." God said, "You are not alone." He said, "I've got more for you. Here it is. Go anoint him king. Go anoint him king. And here's the guy's going to take your place. You need to train him. You are not alone. And you're not. And you're so far not alone. I'm leaving 7,000 alive in Israel to start this country over." Because they haven't turned their back on me. You don't see them, Elijah, but I do. Sometimes I feel alone, like I'm battling by myself, like I'm struggling on my own, like nobody's got my back. And then God says, "James, you are not alone. You got your wife, you got your kids, you've got your mother-in-law, you've got your grandfather-in-law, you've got your congregation, you've got your friends, you've got all these people, and guess what? You got people you haven't even met yet, and they've got your back. I see them. Trust me." And I have to trust in Jesus. So do you. If there's something going on in your life that's weighing you down, that's making you feel alone, making you feel depressed, making you feel like you've got this all by yourself, you are not alone. You have Jesus Christ if you've got nobody else. And I promise you, you've got somebody else. I'm there for you. This church family is there for you. Your friends are going to be there for you. If nothing else, you'll find out real quick who your friends are. Because the ones who are playing games will leave fast. The ones who are true will be there. And God's going to reveal them to you. But you've got to get up. You've got to get up and move. You've got to get up and trust Jesus to lead you to where he's got you planned to be at. Stop hiding in caves, hiding in holes, and trying to stay out of sight. Get back out there and do the work he has put in front of you. I'm going to end with this little bit of letter from my favorite author. It was written July 17th, 1953, to an American. So it should hit home just a little bit for us. It says, I'm very glad you've seen that Christianity is as hard as nails, hard and tender at the same time. It's the blend that does it. Neither quality would be any good without the other. You needn't worry about not feeling brave. Our Lord didn't. See the scene in Gethsemane. How thankful I am that when God became man, he did not choose to become a man of iron nerves that would not have helped weaklings like you and me nearly so much. Especially, don't worry, you may of course pray, about being brave over merely possible evils in the future. In the old battles, he's referring to World War I, which he served. In the old battles, it was usually the reserve who had to watch the carnage, not the troops who were in it, whose nerves broke first. Similarly, I think you in America feel much more anxiety about atomic bombs than we do, because you are further from the danger. If and when a horror turns up, you will then be given grace to help you. I don't think one is usually given it in advance. Give us our daily bread, not an annuity for life. Applies to spiritual gifts too. The little daily support for the daily trial. Life has to be taken day by day and hour by hour. How many of us worry about years from now? I think that's what Elijah was worried about. Is how much was going to take place up there, and God said, eat. I've got more for you you don't know about. Oh, but God, I've done all this and I'm all alone. Eat. I've got a plan for you that you don't know about. Oh, but I've done all this, and I've done all that. All right, today, go back out there, and you're going to find these people and do what I just told you to do. We're going to start with today. Let's start with today. Get up and dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings you've given us. Thank you for the message that you've given us. Thank you for the simple words of this message. The clear description of what it's like to struggle inside our own mind, inside the cage we create for ourselves, Lord. I ask that you come into each one of our lives and bring us into your silence so that we can hear your voice. Let us lean into you and trust you and devour the word of Jesus Christ. For he is the bread of life and the living water. God, I ask that you touch our hearts and our minds and help us to walk in your light and to stop worrying so much about things that we can't control and things that are going on around us and all the noise and stuff of the world, Lord, but to put our trust in you and to listen to you and to follow your will and seek out the plan that you have for us. Lord, I ask that you touch our hearts, our minds, and carry us out to share your gospel with the people that are around us. In the holy, blessed name of Jesus, amen. Amen.